and welcome to Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch.
And my name is Matt Emmert. And this will be airing right after Christmas. So hope everyone had a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I hope you got everything your heart desired when you walked down and got under the tree and saw something with a big bow on it.
I thought you were going to say something else with a big bow on it.
Get your mind out of the gutter.
And if you saw Daddy kissing Santa Claus, hopefully he was a hot daddy.
Yeah, and you find out your dad's gay.
Oh, and kissing Santa Claus. Wait, yeah. No, it's I saw mommy. Did I say daddy?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But I was totally just going with it. I was like,
I'm so glad that you went with that. Yeah. No, if you saw mommy kissing Santa Claus, that's
perfectly
no fun.
Normal.
If daddy is kissing Santa Claus.
But what if mommy's kissing Santa, but it's not daddy?
But what if Santa is a daddy and he's kissing mom? Wait, no.
No, that's fine. That works.
Is it okay to watch your mom kiss Santa Claus?
Well, I always thought it was a big deal when my mom or dad kissed under a mistletoe. I was like, ew.
Well, luckily I'm Jewish, so I never had to deal with that. But
wait, Jewish people don't have mistletoes?
Well, it's a Christmas thing. That's like, yeah, no, there's no mistletoe in Hanukkah.
There's plenty of mistletoes for Hanukkah.
but there's plenty of camel toes for Hanukkah. What? Clean it up,
gross.
Tim. Wait, you know what I was going to, I was
far.
Just thinking, the song I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus, it's disturbing, right? No, it ends and isn't there a line that says but Santa's daddy or something, because that's
Santa's dead.
Well, no, because no. Mom, because that's equivalent of saying I saw mommy cheating.
yeah the song is basically like, hey, mommy's cheating over Christmas.
I saw mommy cheating on dad, and now I have to decide whether to break up my home and tell her or to deal with it.
You know what, keep it a secret, because you know what they say, secrets keep them and you'll feel fine.
Are you making that up on the fly? Wait, you know,
of course I am.
I was also thinking, you know what song always creeped me out? A Christmas Carol.
You didn't celebrate it, so you're lying already.
Well, I mean, I couldn't escape it. It's not like, hey, you know what? What happens is they take the Jewish children, right, Tim, in school.
Hide them away.
They put them in a separate room during Christmas activities, and they're like, put earplugs in.
I guess I grew up with no Jewish children.
Well, that makes total sense, because you're a Midwestern white. Are you Protestant?
Are you kidding me?
No. Are you Catholic?
I do remember going to like a midnight mass. So whatever religion that is.
You probably grew up in the least diverse area.
Yeah, I can't really say there was much diversity. It wasn't until I moved to New York City in 1999 where I was like, hey.
Wait, there's other religions and races?
Right. I was like, this is different.
This is crazy. Wait, do I hear a gardener at night?
Yeah, they're leaf blowing at
That's weird. We're recording
night.
In the evening, and that's weird. But I was going to say, you know, as we get closer to New Year's, do you have any New Year's resolutions, Tim?
Yeah. Don't be a
whore.
Don't be a whore, because during this pandemic, I'm going on lots of dates.
No, what? Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
No, I'm perfect.
Oh, good. Yeah, good.
Yeah. No. I think eat healthier. That's
okay.
So lame. And work out more consistently.
I'll just put that in with everybody's
know,
New Year's
I
resolution.
Know. I think
hey, you know, I want to lose some weight and volunteer more. Okay, everyone.
Oh, I didn't say I want to volunteer.
Oh, got it. Yeah, I was trying to imagine you volunteering somewhere.
You know what I'd love to do? I love to donate on people's birthdays. They'll like say, hey, we're donating to like a food drive. I'll donate to that.
No, I think that's good. I feel like I always, I have like certain causes that I donate to every year that are near and dear to my heart. Also love doing any sort of like charity drive. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. Let's talk about horror films.
We're in the spirit of the holidays.
That's
as everyone is. And speaking of the spirit of the holidays, we have two movies that have nothing to do with the holidays, but they are
We picked two films that are complete opposites.
But because we did like a little holiday episode in our Patreon, and I just have to plug that for a second, because if you don't know about it, if you go to Patreon, patreon.com/happyhorrortime, that's where you can sign up to support the podcast. And by signing up, you can get access to our bonus episodes.
That's right. And let me tell you, It's a good one.
It is. We just did a bonus one on, so it's called Not So Hallmark Holiday Specials, because we discussed the Creepshow holiday special on Shudder and Sci-Fi's movie Letters to Satan Claus, and that was like our little holiday special, right?
I enjoyed I enjoyed doing the podcast more than I did watching them.
That is true, but if you want to hear some witty holiday banter, please, it's only available for patrons, and we'd really appreciate the support. But for our regular episode this week, we saw two pretty new movies, and one of them we actually ventured to a drive-in
field trip during a pandemic.
I mean, we haven't, I've seen a number of drive-in, but I hadn't seen one in a while. Had you?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So,
I mean, I actually don't, for some reason, this particular film, I was mesmerized.
Oh, yeah. You were, Tim was talking about this film, but I want to talk about that one second.
Oh, okay.
I think, well, so let's not, we won't spoil it, but we'll talk about the first one we had was a Shudder exclusive. Was it exclusive?
Yeah. I don't think it was in theaters or anywhere else prior.
Yeah. And it's called Anything for Jackson.
Not Michael Jackson.
Not Michael, not Janet, not LaToya. But Anything for Jackson.
And not Jonathan Jackson. Jonathan Jackson from General Hospital.
Oh, is there? And it, is or so Joshua tough. Jackson from Dawson's Creek. Let's keep going.
Wait, wait, Pacey? I almost called him Petey.
Petey. I loved Petey. Petey and Josephina. Actually, her name was Josephina, yeah. But they called her Joey.
Joey
okay,
Potter.
But
yeah.
Okay, this came out the beginning of December, so it's been out for a few weeks, but like, it was something that I kept hearing stuff about it, and I finally was like, we have to do this in the podcast, because yeah. It's gotten a lot of hype.
I saw the trailer. I was interested because I did not know what it was, where it was going. I could not quite pinpoint what the storyline was from the trailer. Could you?
And, but you did think the grandma was the grandma from Dawson's Creek.
I did.
Pulling it around in full circle.
I was like, is that Graham's?
Is that Graham's?
I think like, I asked it within the first minute.
Well, so the setup for this is that there's this old couple that it looks like they're just like the sweetest old couple.
Beautiful house.
Exactly. And, you know, it just gets right into it because I think it's the first scene, right, where a pregnant woman comes to the door.
No,
and
she doesn't come. They kidnap her.
No, she's at the door. Oh, sorry. They did kidnap Brady, but I, you see them bringing her through the door.
You weren't even watching the same film.
Wait, what movie am I watching? Brady Bunch.
Titanic.
No, you see them dragging a pregnant woman in through their front door and like knocking her unconscious and literally kidnapping her. I thought she had come to the door. I guess they had taken her from the street because I do
they
remember.
Did, right?
Yeah, because she was jogging.
Which, by the way, I think that girl could probably take out those two old people.
Even like she was like 8 months pregnant or so.
I guess a pregnant woman would have a little tougher time, but I thought those people
those pregnant
so
people
frail.
You know, I will say the opening scene is done in such a good in terms of unsettling manner, because what they do is it's just one really wide shot and you're just looking like from side to side wondering what's gonna happen, when's gonna happen. It doesn't switch, and then you just like hear this commotion and you see them like dragging her in. It's just effective.
Yeah, and
when
then
you
the
do
mom
that.
I mean the mom, the grandma, like
grandma,
the grandma, she takes I think what looks like a candlestick and hits her twice.
Yeah, because she's like she's flailing and the girl, like they just are not good at getting the girl unconscious, and they just take her and like, and they take her down to the basement and basically kidnap her. And I think the pregnant woman's name is Shannon and the old couple's name is Audrey and Henry. Thanks, IMDb.
I know, and I've never seen any of these actors before. I don't think I've seen one of them.
They look like actors I've seen, but not like,
well,
I would know by name.
Maybe the grandma. I'm going to call them grandma and grandpa.
Well, the grandma is Sheila McCarthy. Thank you, IMDb, again.
I mean,
but yeah, so anyway, so you're wondering what the hell is this old couple, you know, kidnapping this pregnant woman, and you find out that their grandson and daughter were in a car accident. The grandson died immediately.
Which I think they should have shown that in a flashback.
They really didn't, did
no,
they?
No, they were just like, we're telling you a story, and us, the viewer, just accept everything they're telling
they
us.
They did, but I think the creepiest part is that like they said that in the car accident, the daughter didn't die immediately. The daughter was in a wheelchair, and then, because she was so distraught, killed herself.
Now, they did have a flashback of that, but it wasn't in that scene. It was like later.
Where she throws herself down the stairs off
like,
a wheelchair.
That's
nothing like seeing your daughter throw herself down the stairs,
yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. So, and basically they tell her, and the best part about this old couple is everything is, did you notice everything was so matter of fact, like
yes.
No doubt.
They were like reading like a grocery list to her. They're like, this is what we're going to do, yeah. And please don't try to fight us.
Literally, they explain that they have joined like a satanic cult, and they are going to get Jackson's soul in her unborn baby's body.
You know, I usually don't like movies where babies are involved. I don't like kids in movies.
I know.
I was like, like, oh, here we go.
And I know. And it's totally like, but the way they say it, they're so crazy. And it's like they are convinced that they know how to get like the soul of this dead boy into her baby, but they really don't. And as the movie progresses, you notice like they have this. And again, I'm going to fuck up the like exact order, but it's unveiled that they got this like what 1,000-year-old spell book.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, and there she's walking outside with it, and he's like, you can't bring this outside.
They obviously have no idea what they're doing, and like they try to do some sort of ritual, but instead of getting the son's or the grandson's spirit in her unborn baby, they literally, I guess, open the spirit world to all.
Like their surroundings?
Evil spirits. Yeah. Or sorry, they opened their house to all evil spirits.
Right, which that was effective because I didn't know what was going on, and all of a sudden dead people were in the house.
Yes, so it becomes like Insidious, and you're seeing all these different like really creepy spirits walking around.
The alive people suddenly killed themselves.
Oh, yes, that's another thing. Well, and that goes through the movie. Anytime anyone gets like too close to like finding out that the pregnant woman is being held captive or whatever, it's almost Bird Box-esque where they like are forced to kill themselves. And some really effective scenes, like one guy, the neighbor who almost sees the pregnant woman through a window, suddenly is like in a trance and throws himself into a weed whacker?
It gets the snow off your driveway quicker.
Plower?
Yeah, it's like a snow plower.
Speaking of plowing, just get it out. You know, it plows snow.
Like, before any of this happens, though, you do see the grandma and grandpa have like a cult meeting.
Yes.
Like a satanic. And one of the girl, I think, works at a fast food place. It's really pretty.
It is. You could say this is like amateur hour cult. Like this is like, hey, let's get together and like chant.
But so they have this circle and the star in it, and they're wearing robes, and you're kind of like, oh, okay, it's kind of comical, but they're playing it straight. Like,
and that's the thing, when they try to do this ritual and it goes wrong and all the spirits are like unleashed in their house, some of these dead spirits are really effective. Like, we got to talk about the flossing woman.
Oh yeah. So like, there's a part where the grandma leaves the house, but we don't know that as the viewer. So you think that he's talking to the grandma, but it's really this creepy old dead woman flossing. But as she's flossing her teeth, her teeth are like flying to the floor. It's disgusting.
And it's really scary. And a second one, there's three that I remember that were, and tell me if I'm missing any, and I'll leave the scariest for last. The second one is that it looks very like a Charlie Brown-esque like kid that's like trick-or-treating with a sheet over its head.
Yeah.
But then it like transforms into this huge, like menacing 10-foot tall sheet over someone like, I don't know. It's like this crazy.
She keeps pushing that little like ghost outside her house, and then he's inside the house.
And he's 10 feet tall.
Yeah,
remember?
It's really like, effective.
Really effective. But the scariest one, and I'm sorry, anytime you have like any contortionist type of body, like from The Exorcist or from any like movie, it's scary. And like there's this figure, it's a man with a like plastic bag over his head looking like he's suffocating.
Yeah, and the way they introduced that was so creepy because the pregnant lady that's tied to the bed like leans over, and all of a sudden there's that face.
Oh, that face.
You know, that beautiful face.
And it's just like there's a plastic bag over his head, and he starts like contorting out, and then remember he like jumps on her and starts like
eating her stomach.
I think that was like symbolic of basically the grandma and grandpa ask one of their like fellow Satan clan members like what's going on, and he's like, well, you opened your house to all these spirits and they all want to get inside the unborn baby or something, I don't know.
But then the first neighbor that like wants to like snow plow their yard, so the grandpa takes it upon himself to the rest of his body to take out to the woods and leave his car out there, and then like the cops are like asking questions because that late the pregnant woman
Missing, the neighbor is missing.
Yeah, the police lady.
Yeah, the detective is suspicious, and she actually gets to the house, finds the pregnant woman. You think, oh my God, she's going to save her and everything. And then out of nowhere,
she's possessed.
She gets possessed, takes her own gun, and shoots her head off. And but the funniest, I know we're laughing and that's not funny. I mean, it's shocking when it happened.
It was shocked
because you, again, you're not knowing that these people become possessed. It's very Bird Box-esque. I know I just said that, but
it's so effective because then they take that one scare, which I think was the biggest scare in the movie when the detective blows her brains out.
Yeah.
They do it like 5 more times.
Oh, well, what happened is the spirit, because now she's dead, and then that woman keeps appearing as a spirit shooting herself over and over again because now she's one of the spirits that's like haunting them. So all sorts of like creepy dead spirits, all kinds of crazy stuff. But you get to like, I guess the conclusion, which was a clusterfuck of Satanism. They bring their friend from the cult over to try to like do the ritual correctly.
First off, we need to paint a picture of this guy.
Oh,
he's powder white.
Oh, yes. He did look like powder. I remember saying
his
that because he's so pale.
His hair is this hideous, like, comb over.
Red, right? Wasn't it red?
It's so gross. And he's, like, really taking Satanism seriously.
Yes. Whereas, like, the old couple obviously are amateurs.
Dabblers.
Thinks that he has a fate. They obviously just joined it because they want to get their grandson back.
You know, anything for Jackson.
Anything for Jackson. But the other guy, like, and you find out he just killed his mother, right? Remember, he killed his mom.
Did we see that?
You don't see it, but I think it's either mentioned or something. I don't know. At the end of these movies, I always like get cloudy because either I'm falling asleep.
Right.
Or it's like so much has been going on that I always mess up.
It has a lot going on.
It does have a lot going on. But I just remember the whole ending scene is total chaos. But from what I remember is the whole final thing gets botched. The Satanist friend ends up like stabbing the grandma to death. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she does, because the pregnant woman wants to hurt the old people.
But she wants to get out, and she doesn't want her baby taken over.
By the way, we need to discuss, why was this pregnant woman not fighting more to leave?
Well, because she was handcuffed to the bed.
I get it, but I mean, she had opportunities in the movie where she could have like punched out the old people, and she doesn't.
Oh, like she had one hand taken off and stuff. I think, there's a couple things. I mean, most of the time she's handcuffed to the bed. Other times, I think she figures like, I don't know, maybe she doesn't want to put the baby.
For me, I just would want to get away.
No, wait, I do remember now. It's coming back. She pretends that she wants to join their cult and raise the baby, Jackson,
I think,
remember?
She was lying.
Oh, of course. But what I'm saying is that she has to play that until she gets free, so then she can like beat them to death, obviously.
Right.
But anyway, so the grandma's stabbed to death, and then like the grandpa, like Satan or the devil himself, like comes out of his body, like breaks out of his body.
That was
really
interesting.
Weird.
It was kind of reminiscent of, if you've seen the 1987 movie Hello Mary Lou, Prom Night 2. This is what kind of reminded me.
Oh, I'm trying to, yeah. Like, I mean, it's just a weird, it's like he comes out of his body. I guess
out
it's like he's
back.
Being reborn or something. But either way, like, so actual, you know, Satan is now existing. Obviously, didn't need the pregnant woman's body.
Oh, so the pregnant woman baby. Finally gets out of that bed.
Yeah.
And does she stab the powder guy?
I don't remember. I just know she escapes.
Yeah, she finally, it takes, because she stabs him, and like she's watching him act like all like, ah, you stabbed me. And then like, like, I remember sitting there like, why is she not running out of the house? Like,
oh, yes. Why is she not leaving? I remember that. But remember when she's leaving, she looks in the window and she sees like the spirit of Jackson.
Yeah.
He gets like taken away by, it's almost like a white arm. And I guess maybe you would think that maybe his dead mother or something. I would say you think that maybe he's not going to be evil, like, because of course that Jackson was just a innocent boy who died in a car accident. He didn't have anything to do with what the grandparents were doing. But pregnant woman gets away. She's driving, like, the very last scene in the movie. She like sees something in the road in front of her.
It looks like a naked person.
It looks like a naked, like, half beast, half man. It's Satan. It's like the devil who just was reborn, and it just like turns, looks at her, and keeps walking.
And then does she keep driving, or she just sits there?
She just kind of like touches her baby and like just stays there. And I think I read an article that it means like
everything's gonna be okay.
Well, for her body or her baby is, I keep saying body, her baby's not needed anymore, but Satan's literally unleashed on the world.
Right.
So
it's kind of like that whole Nightmare on Elm Street 2 thing where like you could pull Freddy out of the dream and then he's living and walking around.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it did have a little bit of that feel. But like, I mean, overall, I thought it was a really creepy movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, it's like it made me think of like Insidious. It made me think of Sinister. All those movies where there's like dead, unresolved spirits in your house that are really fucking freaky.
I thought this was better than Sinister.
The first Sinister? I love the first Sinister 2 sucked, but okay, Sinister 1. Well,
I thought this had just had more going on. I felt like Sinister was slow and like, oh, something's jumping.
I don't know. Those videotapes in Sinister.
No, those are very disturbing.
The families like getting killed. It was so freaky.
But are you part of the family?
I'm part of the family. You know, but there's been a few Insidious ones, including I think it was Insidious 3 that really scared the shit out of me. I mean, but either way, like it's different because it's not just like... I mean, it's different because it had this whole really seemingly sweet grandparents
right.
that are doing
this. I think
this.
That's what saved it for me because I thought the grandparents were so, I don't want to say likable, but I liked watching them because they seemed to not know anything about Satan.
Well, they're like clumsy villains.
Right,
you know?
Right,
like
they were clumsy villains.
They didn't, and it's not even that they truly believed that they weren't doing anything wrong. Obviously, they're kidnapping a woman and taking her baby, but they thought like, oh, one thing we forgot is that it's finally revealed at the end that it was the grandma driving the car that got her daughter and grandson killed in the accident. Remember?
Oh, gosh, I must have missed that.
It was a quick thing. It's revealed that she was driving
the
car.
Okay, so this whole thing is driven by guilt.
Exactly. It's driven by guilt. And she, again, it's like she knows she can't help her daughter because her daughter survived the accident but then killed herself. So the daughter didn't want to be alive, but they're like, oh, maybe they can, you know, save the soul of the grandson. But obviously, the message of this movie, Tim, is don't join a satanic cult.
That and just to go back, I loved when the grandma was trying to use a cell phone.
Oh, when she was doing that app that was almost like Tinder. Like, oh yeah, so there's one part at the beginning where she's trying to take the pregnant woman's phone and make it like the pregnant woman had met up with like a guy from an app and that's why she disappeared, and she's like filling out a profile
and the guy
hilarious.
Was like, he said, like, he messaged her and he said DTF, and she goes, what does DTF?
She's like, DTF, what is that down to? Oh dear. But that's what makes this like sort of funny, because it's like these like sort of
right.
dumb,
it
ignorant,
a comedy.
Like, yeah, definitely not a comedy, but it's like, again, they're not horrible people. I mean, they're doing bad stuff, but they're not like, oh my God, they're just serial killers. They have a legit plan. They've turned to Satanism because they think it's the only way they can get their grandson
back.
Which
I think everyone should.
Definitely. If you want to get someone back. Yeah, it's just, it's weird. So again, it's like one of those movies where it's a very gray line between like who's awful, who's not, who's the villain, who's not. I mean, obviously the pregnant woman is never the villain. She's obviously there's nothing, she's done nothing wrong, but there is some, it's definitely effective, it's definitely scary. I'd recommend it.
Me too. Thank God it wasn't on Sci-Fi, because they probably would have made the movie a lot more funny.
Oh, it would have been over the top. And so yeah. No, Shudder has been doing especially some good like exclusive movies.
I know that the movie The Host was so good.
Oh well, that was one of the best of 2020.
I agree.
I mean that and I've got to say, like, Shudder, which started as like, hey, it's just like a cool streaming service for horror movies, like now it's like,
I think
it's like what
it's
Netflix and
substantial.
It's like, yeah, well, they've become their own like broadcasting system of original content. It's like, it's almost how Netflix used to just be where you'd watch movies, and now it's like they have all their own series. Like, Shudder's going in that direction. It's gonna have
move
amazing...
over HBO Max.
Yeah, well, I mean, HBO Max is,
you know, they just got Wonder Woman.
And isn't HBO Max gonna be able to release all Universal movies
not
on
Universal,
the same day?
Warner Brothers.
Oh, I get those confused. Aren't they the same thing?
No, one's like
Universal. One's Warner. Well, anyway, if you have Shudder, and again, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't have Shudder,
what is either. Wrong with I don't have it.
I was gonna wait, you don't?
No, I just watch it at your house.
Oh my God, you're right.
But
it's,
you know,
only like
I will
$4.99 a month.
You
I think
I'm made of money.
What I was gonna say is, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't have Shudder, either you're a good friend of Tim and mine that we guilted into listening, or you're a horror fanatic that should be paying that monthly fee to get it, because it's worth it. I'm telling you.
You know, I probably would get it if I knew how, because I'm like those grandparents that just don't know how to use anything.
DTF down to what?
Exactly.
That's Tim, literally. That's, yeah.
Well,
moving on.
Moving on.
So the second movie we're going to discuss, I wouldn't say it's horror, but Tim sent this to me, and it was just too like glossy, fun, crazy, not to talk about on this podcast.
I loved this movie because if anyone that has ever seen a 90s noir thriller, like Basic Instinct, Sliver.
Well, they tried to call it an erotic thriller, but I can just tell you right now, the eroticism was at like a 1 out of 10.
Yeah,
really.
You're being generous. I mean, like the sex scenes in this movie. Well, before we go on.
Oh, it's called Fatale. And here's the thing. Before we even talk about it, it is not available streaming yet. It's supposed to come
January
out
January 8th?
Something like that, beginning of January. So if you like what you hear and you don't feel like going to a theater, it will be available on demand in a few weeks. But we trekked out to a drive-in because Tim was that excited about this movie.
No, I was so happy that Matt was down to...
DTDI?
DTDI.
Down to drive-in. No, yes. I was like, let's do it. Drive-in movies are fun and we got popcorn.
I know, we got popcorn. And before that, this has nothing to do with the movie. We got Taco Bell.
Oh, my God. So basically, we had a really healthy night of eating.
Let me just say this.
You're working toward that resolution, Tim.
Let me just do everything horrible in 2020 and then I'll be a good person in 2020.
It's just like the people say, yeah, 2020 is a horrible year. 2021, everything's going to be better.
Right. Right at midnight.
Right at midnight. It's just like Y2K. The world ends.
Right.
Yeah. No. So Fatale, if you haven't seen the previews, which you probably haven't, they haven't had a big marketing.
I'm actually surprised they even waited to they're like, oh, first drive-ins. No. Yeah.
Well, it's an erotic thriller starring, I mean, the big
two-time Oscar winner, Hilary Swank.
Best known for The Next Karate Kid, I'd say.
Yeah, 1994. Happy 26th anniversary.
Definitely not Boys Don't Cry or The Million Dollar Man, was it? The Million Fighter.
She's a million.
She's All That. Yes, that's what it is. She was in She's All That. And I know we're the worst at it. But also starring, I know you've seen him around because he's been in a lot, Michael Ealy. He was the main guy in this. And he was on season 2 of Secrets and Lies.
He was in Fast and the Furious.
He was also in, I think he was on...
He's done a lot of TV.
He's been the main star in a lot. He's done movies. He's like almost like, I'd say he's like B-plus level celebrity, about to be.
Yeah, I think he was...
Very good looking guy.
Yeah, he was good looking. But it was interesting that... Okay, so the movie starts off that in Vegas. No.
Okay, it starts rich businessman, yes. Michael Ealy. His name is Derek.
Yes.
He like is at his incredible home, and that's the Hollywood Hills, right?
I don't think Hollywood Hills are that big, are they? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Where else would it be?
Listen, I'm so poor. I just drive past them.
Tim's like, I haven't even been able... I don't even have a car that makes it into the Hollywood Hills.
My car's like...
No, because he's like, I remember we mentioned this. Remember the first scene, it's like an interaction between him and his wife.
And she, okay, gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Model, good looks.
Now acting.
Not the greatest, but worse than that, like obviously their relationship is just bad.
In the shitter.
Like cold as fuck. Like she and him have no chemistry. They're just, you can tell that it's like just, I don't know, just not happy in the marriage. So you're like, okay, this is leading towards cheating. Yeah. I mean, like, they couldn't have done a better setup for that.
The 7-year itch.
Maybe. But I mean, of course, they're beautiful, they're rich. But so he goes away to Vegas on a bachelor party where he meets
Hilary Swank.
And Hilary Swank's name is Val.
So he takes off his ring, and just like Basic Instinct, there's like this big dance number in a club. And like, she's dancing pretty funny.
I gotta say, she looks good for 50?
45.
Like I said, she looks great for 45.
She's only 3 years old.
But I mean, she's playing a character that you would think like the seductress type of character that she was playing is similar to like in Basic Instinct, and Sharon Stone was like 32 or so, like meaning she played it and she still was a good seductress.
She looked sexy, and does he buy her a drink, or he spills a drink on her?
Yeah, and so
and
she
like
asked
right
him to
on
buy
her boobies.
Well, I mean, they end up dancing, but I will say it's leading up to I was thinking, oh, this is gonna be some like big hot erotic sex scene.
It was 3 seconds.
3 seconds, no nudity, nothing hot about it. And when it ended, I remember we're like,
that's
wait.
It.
But I mean, if you're going to be an erotic thriller, you know, you, like Basic Instinct or Sliver or like Fatal Attraction, mm-hmm. you need some good sex, and this did not have it.
I was like, did we just watch
didn't it feel like the edited down version?
Oh my gosh, it wasn't even an episode of CSI. It wasn't even an episode of like 90210.
I was shocked. Like, no nudity, no even time with
not
the
even
sex.
A man butt,
not even butts, like nothing. And this is R-rated again. Like, I thought, did they accidentally give us the edited down version? Because that's it.
Maybe. And because there's killing in it in the F-word a couple times.
Well, I did love the next morning he's trying to get away, because of course he realizes, you know, it's a one night stand, and she has locked his cell phone in the like hotel safe, won't give him the code, and she's like, I want more, and he's like, so you're saying I have to fuck it out of you?
I can't believe you said it on the podcast.
And that's the best. Tim loved that line. It was my favorite line too.
It was the best thing.
Because he says it so matter of fact, so I gotta fuck it out of you.
And then I blushed.
And then I was like, Tim, that's a quote that you should use over the holidays.
Right. Just family members and coworkers.
Or delivery people. When they get there and they're like, I need my money, you should say, do I gotta fuck it out of you?
Oh,
I
think you should do that. Oh my god.
So vulgar. I could see you doing that. Not at all.
Oh my god.
No.
The day I say that is the day I'm like the day in a wheelchair and I'm 90.
Tim Murdoch.
Right.
If you were saying that at 90, that'd be a pretty cool old person. Anyway, so moving on.
Okay, so then they cut back to his normal life, and like obviously their one night stands over. And by the way, he gives her a fake name, he said he lives in Seattle.
Yes, he says he lives in Seattle instead of Derek. I think he said his name is like Darren
or
something.
But she wasn't exactly honest either. She didn't say that.
I thought she did say her name was Val, because she didn't say her job. She didn't say her job. She just said she has a stressful job, and she goes to Vegas to blow off some steam.
Which we all do.
Of course.
And so he goes back to his wife in bed, clearly not doing anything.
Yeah.
And they get robbed, and he goes down, and there's like a big scuffle.
There is, yes, scream too, Mrs. Loomis, a big scuffle.
And so...
Oh. There's the when they're getting robbed, Derek, the main guy, tries to like fight off the guy, and the guy has a gun.
The wife does not call 911.
Doesn't do anything. You're like, why? But what is weirder is that the robber's not trying to get away. He's trying to kill Derek.
Yeah.
So you're starting to think like, is this a robber or like a hit job? Finally, I forget, how does that get resolved? I mean, he doesn't get killed.
He runs out.
So finally the robber runs out, and, you know, cops come, and then big unveiling.
Oh my God, this is like they have such a slow-mo of her like feet walking towards. It's such a big reveal.
The detective on the case is none other than Hillary Swank.
Yay!
And she looks at him, and she's like,
do I know you from somewhere?
Yes, and he, you know, has that oh shit face.
I don't think so.
His wife is right next to him. He's obviously, not only has been caught in a lie with Hillary Swank, because he told her he lived in Seattle, but the person he cheated on his wife with is the detective in the case.
Yes, and then she's like, can I take a walk with your wife? And then they go downstairs into the bedroom, and she goes, which side of the bed do you sleep on? And she goes, I don't know what this has to do with the case.
Yeah, she's asking the wife a lot of questions, but not telling the wife that they cheated. And, you know, we could go into every detail. But there is. What I will say is that before we go into every detail, if you're thinking this is a straightforward, like, fatal attraction, cheats on her, and then she just doesn't give up, and then she, like, tries to kill them, it is definitely not. Like, this takes it up, like, 10 levels, because...
There's so many plot twists.
There's so many plot twists, but just the next plot twist is that, like, Hillary Swank is obviously, like... she is, you know, not happy with Derek, but what happens is she gives him a little bit
of a hard time,
but she doesn't act like she's gonna ruin his marriage.
She's not like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. Exactly. Like, she's not full-blown nuts.
One thing we forgot to mention is they're hinting at this throughout, that Hillary Swank has some secrets of her own. She has an ex-husband who has custody of her daughter,
and the reason is because apparently she was a full-blown alcoholic, and like one night when she passed out, her daughter was playing with
a hold of the gun and like fired it.
Her daughter was taken away, so now she's three years sober,
but there's a restraining order on her. Her ex-husband wants no part of her, doesn't
but
want her to have custody.
He's ridiculously good looking, and it looks like he lives in Hancock Park.
Exactly. So Tim wants to do him.
Yes!
Tim, can I fuck it out of you?
Oh.
We're going to have to mark the explicit button on this one, Tim.
I am not happy about it, but
Tim hates it. Tim is like a PG-13 movie. Maybe a couple like a couple shits and dams and maybe a side boob
shot,
but that is it. No
F-word.
No. So anyway, that's good that we got that. But so Hillary Swank reveals to Derek, she finds out that Derek's wife, you know, the cold bitch with the model good looks,
right,
is cheating on him with his best friend and business partner.
All the way out to the beach, and it's like, gives him a, what's this called?
Binoculars.
Thank you. What you couldn't see is that I made sign for binoculars.
Binoculars.
So he looks and he sees that the wife, like, jumping into his best friend's arms.
Yeah, which exactly, like, no one wants to find out. But you can tell. But couldn't you tell, like, Hilary Swank is very excited about it? Like, she finds out and she then, like, basically reveals that she thinks that the wife and the best friend hired a hitman to have him killed, and that was the robber. And that's a big twist because, you know, in, like, Fatal Attraction, all these other movies, usually the wife that gets cheated on is, like, the innocent person, like, has nothing to do with it. So now, not only, so cheating is, like, the least of his problems now. Now he has, like, a cheating
he's
wife.
He's clearly distraught, and she just leaves him on the beach. He goes, get away from me!
But here's the twist. Then, suddenly, like, later in the day, the cops, like, bang down his house, arrest him. Apparently, someone murdered his wife and best friend right after he found out about it. And he, obviously, the prime suspect. And Hilary Swank keeps saying, why'd you do it? And he's like, what? I didn't.
And they're like, and then she pulls out his wedding ring and she goes, this was here.
So there's a flashback. And apparently, Derek did go over to confront them, but then left. And someone else came in and killed them. And who do you think that is, Tim?
Two-time Oscar winner Hilary Swank?
Two-time Oscar winner Hilary Swank. And she even admits later, doesn't she say, like,
yeah, she's like,
who's the guilty one? The one who wishes it or the one who pulls the trigger? Oh, because he, like, says he wishes.
Oh, she says this at the funeral, right?
Oh, yes, because he's like, because obviously Derek realizes Hilary Swank is fucking with his life majorly and, you know, revealed this to him, knew that he had been there, and then kills them knowing that he would be, you know, the suspect. But doesn't she do that line, like, who's to blame, the one who wishes it or the one who pulls the trigger? I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, the one who pulls the trigger. There could be a lot of times when I'm like, oh, I fucking hate that person. But I would never do anything.
I don't
know.
I think that was a confession.
That's me, and I should be arrested for...
Yeah, hang on. Cops, he's in here. Get him.
So you're thinking, like, okay, she's like a mastermind of evil, basically.
Right, but you know, the thing is like, she doesn't... I know this is going to sound crazy, but they don't write her that evil.
Well, they don't. Well, I would change that and say they don't write her that crazy. There aren't many moments until the end where she's very cool and composed. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was just
there was
a choice.
One scene where she gets into a car and just screams.
Wait, what?
Do you remember
that?
She gets in the car and she goes, like, ah! You remember that?
I don't.
Right after talking to her ex-husband. Like,
pissed. Because the one thing that really affects her is obviously her daughter is the one thing that really.
She has zero access to her daughter, so yeah, she'll do anything to get back.
That's true. Well, okay, so if you think that's bad enough, no. You take it another step because.
So then she's like.
Well, Derek tells his like.
Cousin,
who's kind of like a thug.
He has a history. Well, so does the main guy. He has a history of doing, like, they did time.
Oh,
right?
Yes. So Derek's cousin, though, is like, basically, he takes care of, like, any, like, deeds that, like, you know, if you need to do anything under the, like, against the law, he basically does it for Derek. And so Derek's cousin, he tells him about this dirty cop, aka Hilary Swank, and the cousin's like, oh, I'll take care of it. Like, me and my buddy will take care of it. And they show up, and aren't they just gonna, like, beat her up or something?
I think they're gonna rough her up or scare her, but the tables turn, and she blows them away.
She literally not only beats the shit out of them, and especially with that toilet bowl cover.
Oh,
I mean, I'm sorry, but getting hit with a toilet bowl cover, those are fucking heavy.
Yeah, and then she had a huge, like, Linda Hamilton shotgun.
Oh, and
she blew them away.
Blows them away.
Which I didn't see that coming.
And she basically then meets. So now she's killed Derek's wife, best friend, cousin, and cousin's friend. And she's still going to, and she still has a way to, she basically meets with them and says she can still push this all on him, say he hired them,
I
think.
Because she has a gun with his fingerprints on it. And then she says, all right, last thing for you to do, well, I want you to kill my husband.
Well,
right?
She says, if you want me, she's like, here's what I can do. I can either, I have all the proof and can get you arrested for this, or you can help me and I can get you free for this. She's like, we'll pin the murders on your cousin because, you know, he was a thug anyway, so people will believe it. And then she said, and I'll get you free, but if you don't, you're gonna go to jail, and what you have to do for me is kill my husband.
Yeah.
So I can get,
so he runs at 6 a.m on the beach, so meet him there and kill him. So...
yeah, like, she's like, I'll get you a gun, just meet him here and kill him. And I love that, like, doesn't he accept it? He does accept.
He's
it.
Like, okay. So I mean, not, he wasn't like, okay, like,
I know, but it's just, I'm, you know, sorry, if, like, someone gave me that choice, I'd be like,
I mean, he was pretty much damned if he does it.
That's so, what I said. There's no way out of that. Just go to jail.
His way of dealing with it was like, okay, I'm going to meet her ex-husband and like try to explain to him. But like the ex-husband saw the gun and like he's wearing like, you know, a hoodie in an alley. So everything's a little
The biggest mistake that the main guy, Derek, made is you don't show up. If you want to warn someone something, don't show up with a gun.
Yeah.
Like he shows up with the gun and he's like, hey, I got to tell you about it. It's your wife. She hired me to. And
in
of course
an alley.
They get in a scuffle. And then what do you know? The gun goes off. The husband gets killed by the hands of Derek. I mean, again, why didn't he just go without the gun to explain it?
I mean, that very true. Well, it looked like he was going to beat him up either way.
So now he's like majorly fucked. Majorly.
So then he goes to Hillary Swank and then...
I think he's just going to kill her because at that point he knows he's fucked either way.
So
and
there, this is an interesting confrontation between the two of them.
This is like the final confrontation and literally it's like Kill Bill style. Where they both just like, it's like a Wild West shootout. They both just start shooting at each other. And my biggest question to Tim after was that, how did Hillary Swank, a trained cop, not like get him kill shots immediately? But like they both get shot, but of course not mortal wounds.
Like knees, shoulders.
Yeah, heads, shoulders, knees and toes. But doesn't then she like gets a knife and stabs him like
six times. There were like six times. I shot him six
just
times.
Yes, Donald Pleasance, Dr. Loomis That's shot right. him six times.
But so he stabbed, no, she stabs him.
Yeah.
And like they're in a fatal attraction elevator. And, then, he reveals that he recorded the whole conversation on his cellular.
The very last, so before the final conversation, he has a conversation where it's like, why did you do this? Why did you kill my, you know, and she admits everything. And, you know, in classic, I got you on tape.
How did the cops get involved?
Well, I think there were just gunshots and people must have called the police. But I forget when he finally kills Hillary Swank, but is it with the gun or the knife? I can't remember. I thought he stabbed her in the stomach. Either way, what I did think was funny is that they're both equally as wounded, but of course she dies and he miraculously is able to survive.
Oh, yeah.
And then in a very true, we just got to wrap this up quickly. The ending is like you hear over the radio people saying, hey, you heard businessman Derek, whatever, you know, who had been charged with the murders was freed because he had a recording of a dirty cop. You know, it's, I love when it's any movie wraps it up with just a broadcast.
No one talks about who killed her ex-husband, right?
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Here's the thing. Derek didn't commit any of the murders except for the one where the gun accidentally went off and Hillary's ex-husband was killed. Miraculously, again, he doesn't get charged for that. I was telling Tim, like, even if it's an accident, if you accidentally shoot someone, that's called manslaughter and you go to jail for it. But of course, nope, you know, in their wrap-up.
I mean,
wrap
good
up.
For me, though. I mean, all the people I've killed.
By accident.
By
so
accident,
good.
Of
by
course.
Accident.
Of course.
But it's like, it is I guess it was definitely R because of the violence. There is a lot of violence. It is not an erotic thriller. It's more like just a violent thriller.
Yeah, it's violent, but I mean, I can't say that it's any violent than a CSI.
And also not more violent than like any horror movie. Any horror movie we talk about. Here's the thing. I think you're going to disagree on this. I wasn't that big a fan of this. You probably liked it.
I loved it. Just because, you know, we're in a pandemic. It was a night out.
I think it also has all the like elements of things you love. Like you love these like overly stylized, trying to be like over the top erotic thrillers, even though it wasn't like.
But the lighting was all like purple and like blue.
I thought it was okay. I definitely wouldn't recommend venturing out to a theater seat. If you want to get it on demand, let's hope they're not charging $19.99 for it.
I think they are. She's an Oscar winner.
Yuck. Wasn't she like a producer on it? I thought we saw her name.
Oh, yeah. It said produced by Hillary Swank.
I just think, again, not it very like as unerotic as an erotic thriller could be. Also, I sort of would have... I went into it thinking it was going to be your basic Fatal Attraction plot. I guess it's a good thing that it wasn't, but it went too far. There were too
many.
It
was too extreme. Like, it wasn't a simple plot like, hey, she's crazy.
Yes, that's the thing. I maybe have her killing some people in the family, but like when they introduced that the wife and the best friend had plotted to kill him and were cheating, it was just there were too many plot points. I just kind of wanted more confrontations between him and her. Like, I wanted to be focused more on her crazy. Yeah. I wanted her to boil a rabbit in his house.
I wanted it to be a little more of, you know, what's the word?
Straightforward. Fatal Attraction?
That and a little campy. I wanted her to play it campy, but she played it straight and I was still into
even
it.
In that final scene, like you want in that final confrontation. I know I keep referencing Fatal Attraction, but because it's so great, like Glenn Close in that final scene is crazy.
Yeah.
And Hilary Swank, again, she's understated.
She's a detective, so she has it kind of in control.
But it's so funny for someone who has it, she does. I guess she would be like a silent psychopath if that even exists. She's crazy, but she's very calculated.
Yes,
you know,
calculated crazy.
A calculated killer, but because she knows how to, you know, it's very Ray Liotta in
Unlawful Entry.
Unlawful Entry.
Right, again,
when
90s
you're going
thriller.
Against when you're up against a law enforcement agent, obviously,
you lose.
Well, yes, and they have so much more at their disposal, and they can work the system in their way versus just a crazy jealous lover. Right. So I guess, yeah, I mean, I guess she played the character as a detective would.
No,
be,
you know, I think I liked it because, you know, I wasn't looking at my phone. I was giving the drive-in my full attention. Now, if I was watching it at your house, I might have.
You'd be looking at your phone as you always do. No.
Listen,
I'm so busy. Wouldn't you've got to agree that Anything for Jackson was better? Don't you agree?
No.
What?
No. I mean, I can see why you'd think that, but sometimes a star, a celebrity, can drive a movie all the way home for me, and I think Hilary Swank is so mesmerizing. I don't care what she's doing.
I would say for pure horror lovers looking for like a creepy, unnerving movie to watch Anything for Jackson right. on Shudder, because I think it was legitimately
and people
good.
People that love two-time Oscar winner Hilary
you,
Swank.
I think you love
I really do.
Two-time Oscar
well,
winner.
Anytime like a huge actress does something that's, I don't, what's the word?
I feel like, it's I don't want to say her? Cheesy, but like there's a word for the like schlocky.
Yeah, it's like,
that's
soap,
what this movie.
It's like soap opera material.
Yes, exactly. Schlocky soap opera movie.
It was like a Melrose Place on steroids.
It really was. It was Melrose, no, you know what it was? It was Melrose Place level with too many plot twists. Like even Melrose Place knew when to stop the plot twist.
I like that they were like, we don't, lots of
They're
twists.
Like, hey, if you thought this was crazy, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
Times this, times this.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what scene I thought was really effective? And then we can just wrap this up because people got things to do. The scene where she's 3 years sober, and like the big scene where she was like debating whether not to drink.
Yes,
I was like, I'm into this.
Wait, but doesn't she takes a swig and then throws the bottle?
Yeah, she's
right?
Like, ah!
I know that was probably
dramatic.
The most overdramatic thing
I
ever.
Loved
but
it.
Look, I just feel like it was one of those things that the writers were probably writing. They're like, let's do like a kind
one
of
more twist.
Erotic thriller, and then they're like, we got to add something. Okay, let's add another thing. Let's keep adding, and they're like, but why not one more?
Yeah, she's an alcoholic recovering this. She killed.
Hey, how about let's bring the ex-husband in and he gets killed.
Let's talk
in a
about
conversation.
The ex-husband.
Yeah, let's do that. And on that note, I think this is our last episode for the year.
Yeah, so everyone at New Year's, I hope you're kissing somebody.
Well, but wait a second. Wait a second. Well, in your household.
No. I'm talking go to some clubs.
I hope you're kissing someone. You know, there's a global pandemic. Go out, kiss a stranger.
Kiss someone. Totally lower that mask.
No,
get
kiss
busy.
Someone. Kiss your roommate.
No.
Kiss your mother.
She's
kiss
no
your
how.
Significant other.
Don't
kiss
have
your
one.
Friend.
Okay.
Okay. No, but I guess we will. I guess I can actually say see you in 2021
yeah,
because
see
we
you
will
in
be doing that. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Have a great New Year's.
Have a fatal night.
Have a fatal night and do anything for Jackson.
That's right.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time.
This podcast is hosted by Tim Murdoch and myself, Matt Emmert. It's co-produced by Jacob Randall.
You can find Happy Horror Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many other platforms, including Happy TV, a free streaming app with content dedicated to the LGBTQ+ community.
To stay involved with the podcast, please like our Happy Horror Time Facebook page or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time.
And if you'd like to contact us directly, email us at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, your recommendations, or any other horror celebs you'd like us to interview.
To support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime. We have some upcoming bonus episodes that will be released just for our patrons.
Before we go, we'd like to recommend a podcast we both love called Movies That Made Us Gay.
Each week, the hosts, Scott and Peter, discuss a movie from their past that had a lasting impression on their lives. These guys are a ton of fun, and both Tim and I have actually made guest appearances on the show to discuss some iconic films.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert. And thanks again for listening to Happy Horror Time.